Hello, good afternoon. This is the first episode of Peas in the Podcast, and I'm your host, Taylor Robinson.
I'm Chandler Thompson.
I'm Leah Rigel.
And I'm Claire Jones.
And today we are talking about the disappearance of the tween stage in young girls. Mm-hmm. So I know personally when I was in Ulta, I worked there, I seen a lot of preteen girls coming in there and buying makeup that was way above their age range. Skincare that broke out pre-puberty skin and was just damaging what could be in the future, how they look. And they were seeing this from a lot of TikTok apps, a lot of social media, a lot of the media they were watching throughout their childhood, of just seeing influencers of what they thought was influencers around their age or even older playing and making it seem as though
like this is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember this trend because it was very like destructive. So I feel like the destructiveness of this trend almost like exemplified why this stage or these like stores aren't made for this age group, because I remember people posting about this on social media and seeing the displays, and they were just destroyed, you know, and they these kids are like too young to have respect for, you know, the fact that this is expensive makeup and that they shouldn't be necessarily playing with it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When I was in Ulta, this lady and me kind of had a riffraff, and she was upset that I recommended that she should not buy a $60 makeup kit for her young child. And I said, well, this is still real adult makeup. It's just in kids' packaging, or what she thought was for young kids' packaging, because she was like, the packaging looks like kids' product. And I was like, well, you're still in an actual makeup store, so it's still real life makeup.
And that's what's really interesting, is that these companies that are creating these makeup brands are kind of marketing these expensive makeup brands to children with these colorful packaging. So that's a really interesting thought, that why are these companies doing that marketing towards children?
And I know there's like Disney collections too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of that in there. Inside Out, I think there was like the Maleficent, and there was the Wicked, and they just and then Ariana Grande already was a figure anyway, so that just really boosted it up.
Mm-hmm. When I grew up, I would buy a little fake Disney packs of eyeshadow that wasn't even real eyeshadow, and it had barely even what we would even consider a brush. But that was the kind of stuff that we were raised on. But now these kids are actually buying real makeup, and they're paying real prices for it.
Yeah, or their parents are. They used to reel their grandparents and their parents in too. So I was like, is it the parents promoting it as far as them buying the girls' makeup, or is it more so of a little bit of both of what they're seeing and their parents making it accessible for them to get it? I was a bit confused on it.
I would definitely say that it's probably more so what they're seeing. I know when I was younger, I wasn't even allowed to wear makeup. I didn't start wearing makeup until I was probably 15 years old. But now I see people are wearing makeup at 9 years old.
Yeah, my younger cousins are about 7 to 8 years old, and they can actually do their makeup better than I can to this day. And they have all of the products, bronzer, eyeshadow, everything that I still don't even know how to use.
It is, I guess on social media, there was a young lady, and I can't remember her name. I have to look it up, but it was an account ran by both of her parents, and she was doing a whole routine of getting up in the morning. It was like 4 or 5 in the morning. She was getting up. She was wrapping her hair. Oh, her name is Harper. That's the influence, Life with Harper. And she was getting up, making her bed, washing her face, taking the rollers out of her hair, brushing her teeth, and like and it was just a whole thing that it was like, she's 9 years old, it's 4:30 in the morning, and she's doing this whole extravagant skincare routine for, and she's pretty popular too. I think she has maybe 200K on,
and is she posting all of this on social media?
Well, it says it's run by her parents, so I guess her parents are posting it, editing it. It's not inappropriate as far as, you know, she's not showing anything she shouldn't be, but I think it's really advanced, especially because she takes it so seriously.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I could never get up at 4:30 and do anything.
And how old is she again?
I think she was 9 or 10.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a good conversation to get into, like, the social media aspect of it, where, you know, you said that it's run by her parents, but it being run by her parents doesn't, like, it's good for her that she's not seeing all these comments and involved mm-hmm. in all of this social media world, but that does beg the question of, like, the parents who aren't as involved and the kids who are seeing, you know, this on social media and are seeing that she is on social media and thinking, oh, well, this is normal for a 9-year-old to right. be posting their life on social media. Right. And if their parents aren't as involved, you know, who knows the people that are going to reach them, you right. know?
Mm-hmm. It can be very... I just looked at her page. Actually, her highest viewed video is 46.2 million.
And with that many yeah. views, who is watching? Are they right. all children, you know?
Definitely, probably not.
Right. Yeah.
Probably not, unfortunately. And then she has 700K. I thought it was 2.
Yeah, and that leads me to what I wanted to mention. A lot of times on social media, kids, they present this curated version of themselves, and it's not real. So when other kids see them, they think that's how they're supposed to look and wear different makeup. And,
right. Mm-hmm. And just being incredibly influenced
yes.
by other people.
And I remember, Leah, you talking about that article that
yes, the Insider Intelligence article. So Insider Intelligence found that over 2% of TikTok's users base is 11 years old and younger. While this might seem like a small amount, the app has over 1 billion users worldwide, which means that it's possible to estimate that roughly 25 million people aged 11 and younger are on the app.
That's crazy.
People, children.
Yeah.
Yeah. 25 million babies mm-hmm. are on the app, you yeah. know?
Like, who knows what they're seeing and right. what they're being taught is normal for right. their age group.
Right, and, I mean, this, like, brings up, you know, the topic of, you know, this whole thing where we're losing the tween years because they're unattended on the internet, you mm-hmm. know, and social media, and what are they seeing? 25 million kids, what are they seeing on social media, right? Yeah.
And it's not even just social media. There's other forms of media that are influencing kids today, like movies and TV shows. Can I ask, what are y'all's favorite TV shows that you grew up watching as a kid?
Mine was Hannah Montana, for
Hannah
sure.
Montana.
Hannah Montana. I would also say you've seen Lizzie McGuire.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I liked really any of it, especially the Disney princesses. And then mm-hmm. I liked... That's So Raven.
Yeah,
ooh, yes.
That was a good one.
That's
mm-hmm. okay. Well, take the plot of those TV shows that we grew up watching and compare it to the current plot and characters and actors of these new TV shows that are being just really poured onto the youth today. Like, one example that pops into my mind is Euphoria. Mm-hmm. We have literally mid-20-year-old actors portraying teenagers.
Yeah.
And that really does damage a mindset in these kids' lives. They're thinking, oh, I'm the same age as this character, and she's doing all of these things.
Absolutely.
I don't look like that. I'm not living like that. It influenced them in a way that they don't really conceive at first.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's normal behavior mm-hmm. for a teenager. When, you know, when we were growing up, I'm watching Hannah Montana, and she's talking about a crush that she has on a boy, you know?
Yeah.
And then you watch Euphoria, and she's doing much more than crushing on a boy.
She's
you know?
Doing a lot.
So.
Going on a crack binge and then versus going and changing your wig. Because nobody knows at school that you're Hannah Montana.
Right,
it's two different
right.
completely worlds. And it's not that some people don't face those possibilities.
But should
of,
we be normalizing that?
Right.
right?
And then that's the problem.
Especially because Euphoria promotes a lot of toxic relationships mm-hmm. as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, toxic
makes
actions.
Normal.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
everything. Everything
they,
about
they're
Euphoria.
They're acting older than they
yes.
need to be. And it's unnecessary. And it's causing not only just like problems in their lives, but mental health issues as well.
Yes. And that's not necessarily to say that Euphoria directly advertises to children, because absolutely not.
It's on HBO.
But again, to bring it back to the social media thing, you know, it blew up on social media. Mm-hmm. So who knows how many children saw it, and then, you know, maybe their parents don't monitor them as much as some other kids, and then they go and watch it, you know? Mm-hmm. That definitely brings up the topic of, like, child stars and the way that we saw the transition from, like, child stars like Miley Cyrus, Demi Lovato.
Just Lady Gomez.
Right. Zendaya was a child star. Yeah. She's on Euphoria, you know?
She kind of had a better grip on her.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, 100%. Hers wasn't necessarily a real crash out. It was more of the acting in Euphoria. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you see the child stars like Miley Cyrus, she, like, lost it, you know? Yes. And obviously that's due to her having to grow up too fast. But whenever we were kids, we didn't have access to social media. Mm-hmm. So we didn't see these crash outs as publicly and on as big of a scale as these kids now are, because they're so tuned in to what's going on in the world.
And I think the most, I guess the show that really did talk about those type of things was Degrassi, and that came on Teenage. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even for Nickelodeon. Degrassi. That was Teenage, that was like, and then there was After Hours Nickelodeon that used to play like the nanny and Friends, I think.
And that was like the closest that they got to the level that they're getting now, you know? And it, like, this transition from, you know, being a child star to being an adult, you know, person in the industry, I feel like it definitely influences, like, even, like, Addison Rae, her transition, you know, Addison Rae, Charli D'Amelio, like, their transition to adulthood, it's very sexualized, and I think
And these are the kids' role models now. They grew up with very different role models, like the Jonas Brothers, they wore the purity rings, and they, like, held themselves to a very high standard, whereas a lot of role models nowadays aren't really monitoring themselves to the public eye.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if that was more of Disney, as far as, because when you work for Disney, that they are super strict on that public image. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if it, should it really be, because we are a child network and we know that you guys are children, we're going to make sure that you are perceived as a child, instead of versus social media, that you can see anything, anywhere, anytime. I mean, child restrictions aren't like a joke. Because you can say you're 18 when you're 12.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, is it, I think it was even more of that, because they were still running off doing what they were doing. It was just more private.
Yeah. And I want to kind of go back to what you said about Disney being so strict.
Yeah.
So I wonder, does that have a lot to do with how they act once they're not on Disney Channel anymore?
Yeah. Right. And I think that's probably where that came from, as far as what we've seen as, like, they are spiraling. Because they weren't on a Disney contract anymore. And so when there are a lot of young girls, you know, they don't have the idols we had, as far as the Cheetah Girls and the Miley Cyrus and all that. And then they go to the Addison Rae's, who's talking about Pepsi or whatever song she had.
Yeah. Boosting her innocence.
Right.
And, JoJo Siwa even. Like, yeah, she kind of lost it.
What happened? Yeah. It was the ponytail. But... She even is a good example, but she's kind of stuck in that period where I think people were telling her not to do that child stuff anymore. Like, she was doing the sprinkles and the rainbows.
And the bows, the big bows.
But I think even her, even though she kind of spiraled and went off, she was still a pretty good example of a girl, a young girl who likes the sparkles and the bows and everything. Mm-hmm. And then...
just wants to dance, you know, very Kidz Bop kind of music.
Right, and Kidz Bop isn't even popular. Kidz Bop, Teenig, what else? The Kids Choice Awards?
Yeah, the Teen Choice Awards are no longer.
The Slime.
Yeah, like Teenig ended in 2009. Mm-hmm. That store, Justice, closed in 2020. Mm-hmm. Claire's went bankrupt twice, 2018 and 2025. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So really all of these, like, glittery, like, fun puppies, rainbows type of stuff for preteens, it's, like, really non-existent now. And, you know, we're talking about these child stars, like, not even necessarily that it would be their fault. It's not their responsibility. But it's, like, how And can we make more age-appropriate things cool for these kids again? Mm-hmm. Is that, like, a direction, you know? Because I remember, like, how things were whenever I was a kid, you know? I was really, I wanted to go outside, you know? Mm-hmm. I had no interest in makeup. I wasn't allowed to wear makeup until, like, ninth grade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had, like, the Worldwide Day of Play. I remember that. Yeah. Very, like, pushing kids to get outside. And now everything is very, like, you're sucked into the internet. Mm-hmm. How was it for y'all when y'all were kids compared to now?
I definitely did go outside more. I had a bike. I had the kids in the neighborhood actually taught me how to ride my bike. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those. More community, more kids outside for sure. It was a lot of whatever girly things you did do was play with the chalk, braid each other's hair. It was all outside, and it was all with other young girls that were your age. And now a lot of the girl, I'm not saying preteen girls don't have friends their age. I just think a lot of their friends are watching other girls their age or older, and that's their bonding on social media. And who has this skincare line, and let me go buy this, and let me beg my parents for this. Like, I think even... what was it? It's like a tumbler, but it's the bottle, the Crisco something.
Stanley,
that's what it was. And everyone wanted a Stanley cup, and I'm like, it's a $50 tumbler cooling. But because it went so viral, and a lot of the It Girly girls had it in their routine, and they took a sip from their Stanley and then washed their face, it was like a whole thing.
Yeah, no one can convince me to buy that cup.
Right.
And that's one thing that when I compare my childhood to the childhood of, like, my cousins currently, I feel like there's so much comparing nowadays. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I grew up, I never really bothered thinking about my appearance as much. Right. Whereas, like, today, everyone's on social media. They're put on a platform to appear perfect. I never cared about being perfect. Mm-hmm. I wore miscolored socks and, like, those crazy leggings. But now everyone needs to present themselves being more mature, being beautiful. Mm-hmm. And those are their priorities now, whereas our priorities weren't the same. And I think that has to do with social media, but also the disappearance of all of these places that we grew up going to, like Claire's and Justice. Mm-hmm. They're forced to dress more mature because they don't have stores like we used to have.
A lot of crop wear, a lot of tight-fitting clothes. Like, I think Claire's and Justice did a good job of letting you kind of grow into caring about what you look like.
Yeah.
It was a lot of, if these earrings are cute, like your mom went and bought them.
But it was, like, cute. It wasn't, it was, like, hot. It wasn't sexy, you know? Like, I feel like that's...
age-appropriate.
Right. I think that's the big transition now is, like, young girls are like, oh, to be an adult, do I have to be sexy? Do I have to sexualize myself? Is this what adulthood is for girls, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then it transitions into just getting involved in a lot of things that you shouldn't necessarily be involved with so young. And it's very, I don't think that they really realize how this is going to affect their mental health later on.
And their perception of beauty.
Right, and their perception of themselves.
Yes.
And, like, just to, like, wrap it up a little bit, it's, you know, I know there was an article that I was reading talking about the major importance of this stage of life, you know, like, whenever, like, self-injuries and violent crimes peak in, like, late teen years, that's usually around, like, 17, and that's when the damage is already done by that point. Mm-hmm. That is whenever, you know, their perceptions have already, you know, shaped them to do the things that they're doing. But research says, like, to really make a difference, it's from 9 years old to 11 years old, which is that peak preteen stage.
Yeah.
So if these, you know, 9 to 11 year olds are thinking, I have to be pretty, I have to, you know, do all of these adult things, how are
dress
they
transitioning?
Right. How are they transitioning into their adult life? And what is the, what is the solution to that? You know, would there even be a solution? You know? With the way that how prevalent social media is. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the only solution that can come to mind is probably not giving these young kids access to the internet so early. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but I was given a phone when I was in the sixth grade.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
sixth grade.
Flip phone. Wasn't even access to the internet.
Mm-hmm. Or like a block phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like barely anything on
just
there.
To call 911.
Yeah,
or your parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now my cousin, he is literally, I think he's 6 years old. And he had his own iPhone
with Facebook.
He didn't have Instagram, but he has Facebook mm-hmm. at, like, 5, 6 years old. Like, what are you doing?
What is he posting on Facebook?
He, like, posts about, like, football.
Baseball. Okay. But that is, you know, that actually, 6 years old on Facebook is crazy. Mm-hmm. That is to wrap up what we were saying. Is it really the parents or is it the kids? Is it, I think more of the, just like you said, 9 to 11 is when the teens are kind of really, you need to grasp a hold of their mindset. So I think really social media isn't going anywhere, but you have to pace your children.
Yes.
I think it's all about pacing. Mm-hmm. And once you pace your kids, I think that'll be a better gateway into, you're still a young lady, but you can be a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think that'll be the solution.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to have social media until I was, I think, 16, mm-hmm. 17, yeah. which is obviously past that primary developmental stage, and
right.
you have a better grasp of judgment
yes.
on, you know, those types of things. And I think that we need to bring back paying attention to what your kid is doing on the internet.
and once we do that, the world will be cured.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know my parents always paid attention to what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that we're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening. This was really fun.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to reintroduce everyone. I'm Taylor Robinson.
I'm Chandler Thompson.
I'm Leah Rigel.
And I'm Claire Jones.
And this is the ending of our first episode.
Yay.
Bye.